This week on the Push Four Legs podcast, we blind rank some breakfast goods and we talk about some programming. Where would you put a rank, Paul? And three, two, one. I'm looking forward to my carnivore diet lasagna when I'm in Dubai.
Hey guys, welcome to the Push Four Legs podcast with myself, Dan Meek.
And me, Tom Hall.
Don't worry, mate. I've got the mince, I've got the eggs, and I've got the cheese.
We're within a buy Coach Carnivore Cam's carnivore containers. Mm. We're just thinking of words to begin with C to keep going with this.
I've beaten Tom on the old comment number, by the way, guys. Don't worry. Not only that, probably that I'm going to beat you again with the second one, because the second one, I just want to bring your attention, Tom, to the fact that nap is on. When was the last light? Oh, God, it wasn't a while ago. 120 on that one. So far.
Oh, no. So I've got 100. Someone liked my one from ages ago today, and I'm at 147, I think, or 148.
Okay, I think I'm going to catch on this one, just because this was only 2 days ago. I think people are still going to be going on this. But I literally just put, some people call this a bacon and a beef and cheese omelette. his carnivore diet lasagna. I can't help but feel that I'm somewhat contributing to Cam's virality, though, by coming to stuff so quickly. But I don't care. I'm all for it. But I've started to realize that I think the whole likes on a comment thing is also based on how quickly you comment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You've got to be like, it's the whole like, first. You
know, it's a bit of that, I think. A bit of that involved in it with this one anyway.
So I bet if I go on Dan's phone, he's got the bell turned on for...
You know it. Everything.
Every post. He's just like, quickly, on, go, got a comment first.
Yeah, because I've got enough time for that.
So he's at the top of it. I mean, you clearly are. Literally, as Dan was like getting that comment, he was just screenshotting it and sending it to me via WhatsApp and just been like, lol. Every single time there was an update, every like 2 hours, I was like, brilliant. Okay, I'm actually doing work, hence I couldn't reply. And I replied with the most basic thing, like, sure. I was like, does Dan think I'm pissed off of him? But I'm just doing those like one word answers. And I was just like, oh, I can't fucking reply properly. I always think that because I normally reply with more words or like emojis and stuff. If I ever do like one word, people always like, are you mad? And I'm like, no.
I always just assume you're busy. Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm probably doing something. Like, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah,
I always assume you're not just completely ignoring me. But I just thought I'd bring your attention to that, because it's important stuff. We know that now, guys. We know that that's important stuff, right?
I've literally got his, I'm automatically, I don't even know where we're covering Coach Carnivore Cam. I've automatically got his thing up on my screen, like his page, just in case. He had my first meal of the day today. Eggs and burgers.
Oh, eggs and burgers. There you go.
Beef liver capsules as well. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, lovely. Someone commented on that as well and was like, if your diet's that good, why are you using supplements? And I was like, correct.
So
he's clueless, that boy. Never mind.
Clearly.
So there you go, guys. That's the update you're all here for. You're here for that update. That's what you're here for.
What we're actually really here for is... How has this not been a thing?
Tango Mango. That's good, that. I like that.
I mean, it's Tango Editions. Like, they got their limited edition stuff out. So I've got, like, some other ones as well. Like, I was like, how have they never thought of Mango Tango? Like,
I don't know. They just never have.
And it's good.
Why are there certain fruits that just never made it as drinks?
This is a strong... strong early contender for a pulley, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I
mean, it is 13 calories per can.
I'm sure you can stretch that far, Tom, for a diet drink.
But I also do, if people can hate on me right now, is I also do have a problem with cans. And if I'm drinking them like in the evening with like my meal, I tend not to finish it. I'm that person who kind of leaves like a little bit, like, I don't know, probably like 100 mils at the bottom and just leaves it. There's literally one on my thing. You can probably see it out the corner of your eye. There you go. Literally a tango there. I bet it's got something in it.
Awful, mate.
I am that human that apparently just wastage. All right, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to get pizza tonight, Dan, because I'm feeling I need a pizza. I'm I'm
Oh,
low
yeah.
energy because I'm tired, but that's about it. Because
Well, we have to think about some food to have when you're over here. I don't know if we do another. Do we do another little sort of burger
I know one of my
expedition along
clients
the
was
way?
like, "Oh, have you picked out all the restaurants you're going to?" And I was like, "Not really." I was like, "Well, we got to get up really early, like, so we're up really early to play golf. So I don't want to get like drunk the night before because I want to play golf well. So I'm like, if I'm spending, let's say 100, 150 quid per round on the golf, I'm like, that's my night out. So I've just shifted it to the morning instead. So."
Correct. That's where you have to rely on burgers and milkshakes to provide the entertainment at that point, right? Or expensive
It's
restaurants, right?
definitely not Dan. So I do not have Dan to
Oh,
provide the invitation.
no.
So Isabel,
Do anything,
yeah.
anything to avoid me? You will. Not your game.
I haven't yeah, but we've got a new three iron, so we're all happy. So that'll be coming with me.
I
I
need a new
might.
club. I need a new club.
Yeah,
Got a
just need a
big
new
gap.
club.
Got a big gap, mate, between a 4 iron and 3 wood. Big gap. Looking at whether I get a 5 wood or a 7 wood, I need to go and try some out.
I've got
See what
two
the
clubs in that gap.
two clubs in that gap. Okay, no. Yeah, that's because you don't drive it as far as me, so you've got a bigger, you've done those power
I
packs.
think I drive it further, so I need more things at that end.
Probably, yeah, probably.
I've got a debate taken, like, I don't know. I might have to go 52, 58, get rid of my 16, 56. But they're nice clubs, though. That's the thing. To legitimately carry all the clubs I want to carry. So I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that's boring chat next. Right, today, obviously, just from speaking to Dan for 2 seconds there, thought of an idea because this is his game and he's the captain of niching. I think that's what you guys are good for.
Yeah.
And I think it's just I've written down, well, we'll talk about three things. Number one, we'll talk about niching too early. So if you're a coach, should you be
Yeah.
niching super early? Should you be niching at all? What is your niche? All that kind of stuff. Me and Dan could talk about our niche and how we niched and what we do to hit that niche and see if you can apply it to your own fucking audience. And then I would like to talk about, because it's something, it was actually, I seem to be, oh, I'm a fountain of knowledge, Dan.
You
But I quite enjoy that there's a few coaches that even in my self-employment small business, what do you say? Small business owner.
entrepreneur.
Correct.
Small
I'm going
business.
to say fitness
Yeah.
entrepreneur.
Small business.
Yeah, come to me for programming advice. Shock. It was an interesting one, but I thought I'd do like a little rundown. All education will be in the combine, just FYI. But yeah, this is a little bit of rundown for what you should be fucking doing at the top of your session to like at the end of your session. Also, as a rundown, what you should be doing when you're fresh to fatigued. Pretty cool. But Dan wouldn't know. He'd be like, full power, always
Bicep curls, always
tricep
bicep curls.
curls at some point. But we'll put him into like little category, shall we? Have some knowledge. And yeah, well, but first, I'm going to make Dan do a blind ranking because I quite enjoy these. You're like, oh, fuck's sake.
Hit me with it. Come on then.
All right, so we're gonna do breakfast, building a breakfast, Dan. So we're gonna have, think, yes, seven,
Full English
six.
breakfast? Is it like a full English thing, or is it just like a breakfast items in general?
So I've got breakfast items,
Okay.
essentially. So we've got. Yeah, let's go for all of these. There's eight there, okay, that I'm looking
Eight.
at. It was eight. There's actually 12 that I'm looking at, but I feel like you'll get bored. And 12's quite a
Okay.
lot to blind rank. Or should we do 10? 10's a nice round number. Let's do
No,
10.
ten's a lot as well.
Fucking hell, do eight.
Yes.
Well, eight is all the food-based products. If we went into 12, the above eight is more like we've got drinks and shit.
No, do the eight.
All right, cool. All right, blind ranking of a breakfast made products. This is I quite like this account that I clearly follow. It's called Cereal Lover Boy. Surprisingly, he doesn't really talk about cereal, but it's
Oh,
always
okay.
good with I like the rankings or pick three things or do this. I don't know why. I save them every now and again, mainly to put them towards you.
Yeah.
All right, so number one, this is obviously not where you're going to rank it. But we'll put it down. Fried egg.
Fried egg out of eight would be number five.
Ooh, interesting. Pork sausage.
Pork
Well,
sausage would
general
be.
sausage, a sausage that you're gonna get with your breakfast. I'm assuming that's like, if we're thinking, because it only got me, it got me thinking about this because we were talking about hotels, right? Like me and Dan have to cuddle in the hotel for a few nights, and we talked about breakfast, and I was like, oh, my mind drifted towards breakfast buffet. So this is why this has come up. Okay, so but the
You'll
kind
be
of
dreadfully
sausage,
disappointed when there's no pork, though.
pork alternative, just made out of Percy
I
pigs.
would say sausage would be number two.
That's high.
Yeah, I like
So,
sausage. Just cut that there. Use that if
yes,
you
you do.
want.
All third thing, home fries.
Home fries.
Home fries are those. So, if we went to the Breakfast Club together, those are the things that are coming with the All American.
Home fries. Six. I'm not fussed about them.
Interesting. Interesting.
Sausage. So I've had two. What have I had? Two, five, and six now. So.
2, 5, 6. Correct. All right. Toast.
Eight. Not
Eight.
bothered about toast in the slightest.
Oh,
Not with an all,
nice.
not with a breakfast like that. No, no way, no way needed.
Interesting. All right.
Oh no, I've said that. There's one worse than that. If it comes up, that's fine. It'll come up. It's fine.
Really? Okay. Pancakes.
Okay, I thought this was like an English breakfast thing, right? These
Oh
seem
no, I said
French. Oh
breakfast
well, then, yeah.
items.
Okay,
I
pancakes
didn't.
would be
This is all gonna be
three.
like kind of like nice breakfast.
Pancakes
I'm not
three.
gonna give you
Yeah.
fruit or something like that.
Yeah.
Pancakes
Pancakes
free.
three.
Free. Pancakes free. Okay, cool. So we've got 1, 4, 7 left.
Yeah. Happy with that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, I'm gonna go next. Hash browns.
What?
He's clenching his
Are
face.
they McDonald's? Are they McDonald's hash browns?
Okay. Any hash? They're not the best hash browns, by the way.
They are.
The best hash browns that I've ever eaten in my life are from Fallow in Central London. By
I'm
the
gonna
way,
say number four.
if anybody wants
They're
to
gonna
go,
4 four. Which
four hash brown.
means you've
Interesting.
got to
So
have
there's
something good
left.
and something shit come up.
You're hoping. I think you're gonna be all
Oof.
right. I think you're gonna be all right.
Let's go.
Let's go for normal breakfast items then. Tomato.
Seven. That should be
Seven.
eight because it's fucking awful.
And I think you know where I'm gonna go now. Bacon.
Number one.
Bacon one. We knew it.
I was
All
waiting
right,
for
you
black
have.
pudding to come out. That would have been number
Oh,
one, but
I did think about it. I did think about bacon,
yeah,
but
that
I
black pudding
forgot
would
it
be
was
number
the
one. I'm
first.
happy with that. I'm happy with that ranking, except for
So
toast
we
and
got
tomato would probably move mine.
bacon, pork sausage, pancake, hash brown, fried egg, home fries,
Yeah.
tomato, toast.
Yeah,
I
that
think
is
you've done all
literally
right
bang
there.
on. That's bang
I
on,
think
except tomato and
yeah.
toast. Tomato wouldn't even
Yeah.
be on it. I'd throw that off the fucking plate across at the waitress.
I
You'd be
think
daring to bring it to me.
I'd put home fries above fried egg, but in terms of what I
Yeah,
like. Just because
maybe, yeah.
fried egg is the most awful way of having your egg. Like,
It is, yeah.
it's that and omelette. Like, what are you doing? Grow up. Like, you've got no time. The other things are, taste better. They're just nicer. I'd take a boiled egg over both of those two. That's saying
That is
something.
controversial.
I mean, we'll do an egg ranking. Dan's gonna just be holding on for souffle. I know you. I know you. All right, niching too early, Daniel. Obviously, that's something that I can't fucking
You hate it.
can't move for people saying niche or niche
Niche.
or
Your niche.
niche.
Gotta know
Your
your
niche
niche.
at me,
Fucking niche.
because it's obviously something that I feel like you guys preach about far too often.
Yeah.
Maybe because I see you guys' content all the time. I think I need to block you. Maybe block
Yeah.
you.
Well, why not? Everyone else does.
But yeah, it's something that obviously we have to do as a business or whatever. You have to work out your kind of target avatar, that kind of stuff. I'm assuming, or I don't know Dan's practices within his business mentorship, but there might be a case of like you do a messaging communications, you might be doing your target market, you might do your target avatar. Who does that fucking look like? Who is your ideal client? All of the above is a general kind of practice for deciding where your niche will go, and then how you even start talking about doing things. So some people just happen upon their niche kind of thing, but some people don't. So do we want to talk about our own ones? I mean, you can talk about it from what you were doing previously as a nutritional coach, probably would be the most helpful thing, not just I work with online coaches, which is now. So so yeah.
I think the thing about this, I think it's important to start at the top, and it's to go that like, people are niching too early for sure. And the reason I know they're niching too early is because they're not giving their gym floor PT enough time. They're just jump and like when I speak to someone who's like, I'm a fully booked in-person PT and I want to be online, I'm like, sweet, let's talk. Because you get it, you know it, you work with human beings, you work with people, you always got something about you, let's go. It's the people that just jump into online or go, I'm not really very full with in person, so I'm trying to try and make it work online. I'm like, no. That's not a good start to going online. And you have to, I'm not going to say you have to because you don't, because Mike never did. I believe that it is extremely advantageous. And when I say extremely advantageous, I mean 99 out of 100 people should do it. Be an in-person PT first, and they should learn to get full in-person PT. And the reason they should learn to get full in person is because it's easier to get full in person. It's easier. Like you literally have your walking, talking audience in front of you at all times in your place of work. And yet I get people who go, oh, I want to go online and I want to get more followers and do all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, you do realize that you've got more people in your gym than you're going to have on your Instagram page, right? You do realize that who are all into the gym, who are all paying a membership, who are all actively, involved somehow. But yet people want to jump online and they think it's going to be easier. And it is infinitely harder. I say infinitely, that sounds bad. It's not infinitely harder because you could probably put a number on it. I would say it is 20 times harder online. I'm gonna say 20. Why not? For 20 times harder. 20 times harder online. I got no way of knowing whether that's exactly right or not. But just to give you some sort of an idea, it is much, much harder. Much, much harder online than it is in person. And that's why I think that online should be reserved for people who are pretty much fully booked in person. I think as a general rule, I think if I could make the rules, that would be one of the rules I'd make.
So the caveat to like obviously use Mike as an example there. I think the caveat to maybe not being as full in person, but obviously yourself and Mike worked within a coaching company or a system that had clients coming to it for a while, right? So you learned your trade and didn't actually have to go out and find your niche, if that's as blunt as it is, kind of because they were the coming to obviously you work for BTN, but the people who are going to Body Type Nutrition, that was they were going for fats, right? So it was just a case of like, all right, they're going to go to that company. Much like my clients went to Third Base, like I didn't have to do any marketing, so they took a cut. So it was a case of that. Cool, they're just generally high net worth individuals, or got a bit of expendable income because they're able to spend it on that kind of gym. Therefore, they can do it on PT. Cool. That's that kind of marketing. So it's like if you wanted to do an online coaching thing, maybe you look at like what you do. You have Jake and Jake sitting underneath you guys, right? And they in turn are learning their trade a little bit more, but they're getting better, they're getting full, but then obviously they're not out there by themselves the whole time. But they probably will be able to make that jump at some point if they want to. Or they've got that kind of structure. So they're able to kind of find their niche within the company that they work for or work with. And I'm assuming that there's probably amongst everything, they're able to, I don't know, just get full within a company first or within a gym. It's the same kind of thing. It's like more eyes are on that company than they are just solely on you. So you're able to learn about that shit. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, for sure. And like obviously like within that, The biggest problem that I see with other people talking about niche, and it's funny how since me and Mike started talking about it more, I don't know if it's just us and maybe we're just egotistical, but I've noticed more and more people talking about it.
I think that's probably yellow car syndrome, mate. No.
Probably is, yeah. Yeah, it probably is. But
Yeah.
like, I know that some of the mentors that we would take the piss out of, for example, and we know that their practices are fucking shady and shit, definitely start talking about it more when we start talking about it and mentioning it and all this sort of stuff. But again, because they never had a niche when they were doing it, because they never really understood it and they just ran paid ads and did cold DMs, like they tell their fucking coaches to do. They didn't realize what their niche was. They didn't understand how to kind of figure it out. And I think that me and Mike have figured out how to help people with that. And a huge part of it, people seem to forget, is it's your personality and you and who you are that makes your niche. So in the gym, for example, me, you, other trainers in the gym, we all had our pool of members to kind of like, I suppose, take a pick of. But yet, different people were attracted to us for different reasons because of our personality, which effectively is a way we niche down, was who we are, how we go about what we do, how we train, how we converse with people, what our current clients say, whether they refer people and talk about us to other people in the gym, what we're like, and the positives and negatives of that. So there's a huge part of it where, okay, you could argue that then me and you and everyone else and Greg and Laura, whoever, would all have the same niche then because we all go to the same gym. It's like, well, no, we all coached and trained different ways. So therefore, even within that, you can have a niche and you kind of go, okay, cool. Then it's not just then about being an online coach who works with men and women who want to lose weight, right? That's what people think. Oh, I'll niche down to busy moms. Okay, fucking brilliant. Just like fucking thousands of other people. It's like, what about you is going to make those busy moms go, that's the person for me? And a huge part of it is your personality. And it is your values essentially, and kind of like your brand and who you are. And one of the things that coaches are really poor at and do not understand is the fact that they themselves need to be a personal brand. And they don't like the sound of that. They don't like what that means. They don't like what that portrays because ultimately it means you've got to put yourself out there. And coaches, when they first start, are very, very good at going, oh, I'm an online coach. I'm an online fitness coach. I can help you lose weight and gain muscle. And I do this and I do that. They're very happy to do that bit, but they're not very happy to go, this is me, I'm Dan, I'm really good at doing this, and I'm fantastic at this, and I have a child, and I love this about football, and I used to do this in football, and I play golf, and I think I'm grumpy, and I think I'm sarcastic, and I think I'm funny, and this is what I watch on TV. Then I like sharing that bit. But that's the bit that makes someone go, I like this guy, I like this person. And coaches just can't do that bit. So when they niche down, the problem they have is that A, they niche down too early, but also B, is that they are nowhere near sharing enough of their life and what they're about and their values early enough either. So you've got this double-edged sword of not only are they niching down to a group of people that they don't really know how to talk to and had no experience working with, they just assume that they can just say, I work with busy moms. They also do not show anything about their life that's going to make those people resonate with them. It's just two things that go wrong. And you would know that. If you were a fully booked in-person PT, you would understand that your clients train with you because of who you are, as well as what you know. But if you don't become a fully booked in-person PT, and you don't understand why people turn up to sessions, and you don't understand what you talk about during sessions, and you don't understand that actually they don't really care about the plan, they just care about you're there to support them, build them up, give them some banter, have some fun with them, talk about anything but fitness for an hour, you will not understand the benefit of doing that online. Straightforward.
Straightforward.
Is that straightforward? And you can see it a mile away. I can see it a mile away. When I work with someone, I'm like, you've not worked with people in person before. Or if you have, you're not great at it. And it's exactly that. Because they're usually the people as well who say, oh, I like fitness. I like the gym. I'll be an online coach because I enjoy it. Well, that means that you, but then in my opinion, are one of the worst people to be a coach because all you've ever known is the enjoyment side of it. There are plenty of people who train, myself included, solely because of how it makes them feel and the way it makes them look and the way it makes them perform. And nothing to do with the fact that they enjoy it. Nothing to do with it. Just the same way I eat my vegetables. I don't fucking like eating vegetables. I don't know any fucker that does. I really don't. Unless they're onion rings, right? You do it because it's good for you. It's that. And I'm going to have a bit of a rant here. That's the problem is that people, it's like me going, I'm gonna be a golf coach because I enjoy golf. Do you know what's gonna happen the second I become a golf coach? And I'm gonna stop fucking loving golf because it becomes my work. Why would I do that to myself? It's my free th it's my hobby. Just because it's your hobby does not mean you're gonna be good at it. There you go.
I think it's interesting because, like, obviously I can talk about my niche in. So obviously it'd be really blunt. I mainly
Okay,
work with.
how about this? No. How about this? I should be able to tell you your niche and you should be able to tell me my niche, right? Because
Well, I can tell you
it should be that
current
we're, yeah, no, but even when I
niche.
was doing fat loss and training and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So Tom's niche now is PTs that are sick of bodybuilding, don't want to carry on doing that, lost their love for training, want to perform for something, want to increase their strength and learn about how to do that for their own clients alongside learning how to do it for themselves. I would take as a rough guess is probably where Tom aims a lot of his content now, or who he wants to
That's
work with.
exactly where I make content. Yeah.
Right. It's that it should, and again, it's easy because we talk about it, but it should be that obvious. And whereas I feel like I check in with some of my coaches and I'm like, I know your niche because I've seen your document. I said, but when I go on your page, I have no fucking clue who your niche is. You're not talking like that's how I know what yours is. Not because we sit here and talk about it all fucking day, because we don't. We talk about anything but work. But I know because I follow your stuff.
But
It
yeah,
should be that
and
obvious.
I think people assume that I work with more, say, athletes, but online, 80% of my clientele are coaches, just because obviously master's degree performance, biomechanics, all that kind of shit. But I talk about, like, all right, you can apply this to this and apply this to this, because I've talked and have probably lectured thousands of coaches in the last 11 years. And that's how it's like, all right, I've been there as well. Like, I know that human. That's why I've created this fucking combine shit, because I'm like, actually, let's do something about this. Because this is the stuff that I would have done. I'm literally brewing for me, but I never went into the bodybuilding kind of thing. I just found it very boring. And there's a lot of people who, like, as it you can tell, like, there's a lot of coaches that have stepped out of bodybuilding or stepped out of something, or because of the being of HYROX and been like, actually, we can apply some decent S&C to this instead of CrossFit or stuff like that. But yeah. But interestingly, my niche is probably different in person. I think people struggle with that a little bit. I still apply the same philosophies, but my niche is different. I mainly work with, let's say, CEOs, high net worth individuals, that kind of thing, private equity. But that is mainly because it's referral driven, it's network
Just
driven.
remind me of that in a sec. I'm going to talk about something that I find really funny about people, about CEOs. Carry on.
Okay. So yeah, that's a little bit of a different kind of niche, but that is obviously where I am based in London, and the price point that I market myself as, and basically kind of, I don't want to say expertise, but where I am situated, kind of gravitates to that. But that's the only reason, let's be honest. Like, if I want, then it could be like, all right, I'm going to work with as many people. It just happened to be the people in our gym at that time, and then I've continued on that kind of frame. And then you do a good job with those people, referral networks, workspaces, that kind of thing is my biggest driver of business there. Dan's unfortunate people he decided to prey on throughout his career-ish, would be the level below, generally wanting to get on stage. It were the people who wanted to make a positive difference in terms of behavioral change. It wanted to be the people who wanted to make a difference in kind of learning a little bit of nutrition and wanting to train. But again, like Dan, doesn't love training, but would want to get to the stage of being photo shoot ready, kind of the best shape they wanted to be, but not to the stage where they wanted to step on stage, would be generally where he's talking to niche. And they tend to be females. Mainly because Dan has a child, and he would, well, he doesn't show that enough, probably, but I think that's also a guarding thing as a parent. I think he'd probably get more female clients if he showed Isabel more. And that is a case of that. But I would say it's generally female, wanting to learn probably a little bit more relationship of food kind of stuff, because he would talk about that a little bit more in a blunt kind of way. And they want to get photo shoot ready, not stage ready. And you'd probably actively discourage stage ready, I'd say.
Yeah, and likewise in person, like wasn't that at all. It was more, people that were wanting to have fun with their training, not take life too seriously, all that sort of stuff, right? And apply those similar principles, right? But it's just funny. So anyway, going back to the CEOs thing, what is funny is that I've noticed we know a couple of people who used to work for, UP, let's say, that kind of vibe, right? Where they're in person, they work with them in person. they leave that company, one of them work online for people. And they're the sort of people who will say, I work with CEOs and high level executives to get them in the shape of their lives, right? And that is a prime example of someone not understanding their niche. Because
those guys aren't online.
So what you need to understand is those guys work 12-hour days, 14-hour days, and the reason they have an in-person PT is because they don't have time to do anything themselves. And if they didn't have that time in their diary, they wouldn't turn up to it. So they'll go, they'll get beasted. They need something to lay out the plan. And they also went as far to talk about how in those sorts of gyms, they hand out meal plans that are very strict and very restrictive and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, well, that's because, and we were talking about this over the weekend in Dubai. I was like, well, it works for those people because a high level CEO does not want to think about their food. They don't want to track their food. They don't want to make their food. They are not making any food for themselves. They're getting it delivered, made for them, whatever. They will not eat carbs if it means they can lose weight because it's easier for them in their head to go, well, that's got carbs and can't eat it. Carbs and can't eat it. Not weigh it out. Oh, let me just weigh it out and track out my fitness bar. Cool, can I fit that in? They do not have fucking time for it, right? And what happens is these people who work in person with these guys do really successful and great. Oh, loved working with these guys, got on really well with them. I'm like, well, you should have stayed in person then because those guys do not sign up for online coaching.
Yep.
They do not do it. They will never step foot into that scenario because they don't have time to sit on Instagram to fucking find your stuff, watch your content, don't care. And also, like you said, they're also built a lot on referrals because they know a lot of people who have a similar mindset. So they could go to this gym. It's great. That's where I got in shape. They'll go to the gym. They will not do all the online bit.
No.
And again, it comes to knowing niches and who's online and who's doing all this sort of stuff. And it just not baffles me, but it's like, come on, like, use your brain. Think about this. Like, backtrack. You used to work with these people in person. What do they used to say to all the time? So busy. Don't have time to cook. Mrs. does it all for me. Doesn't know what she's doing. Doesn't know what I can or can't eat. Okay, here's a list. Give that to her. Here's the meal plan. Give that to her. That's what they're doing. They're not saying, like, oh, tell you what, just, you know, you could do. You could have a little bit of what you fancy, a little bit of chocolate. Well, no, chocolate's for, if I have a bit of chocolate, I'm going to eat the whole fucking bar because I'm weak. I'm stressed. I've got no energy. Tell me what else to do. Yeah, tell me what else to do. If I was to diet now, the easiest thing for me to do would be to get a meal plan and get the meals sent to my door and eat the same fucking thing every day.
It's interesting because, like, literally, I've come down like 5 kilos, right? And that's exactly, I'm busy, but it's exactly what I did. I ate the same thing for about 6 weeks, every fucking day. Like, I was like every single, I was like porridge, bagel, like protein fucking wafers, and basically I had kind of free reign in the evening, and that's about it. And like fucking yogurt and berries. But it's the same thing with that as well. I realize we don't prescribe that normally. We don't advocate it always, but sometimes it happens. So another private equity client, mad works like all the time. Literally, I don't do this often, but I was like, yeah, you're prime for literally going fasted. I was like, I'm just going to give you a little window. That's it. You are only, I don't care what you fucking eat because you're not going to be able to get enough in within those 6 hours. And we did like 6 hours of fast. Like the rest of it, it's just like, actually, you can't eat for 18 hours of the day. Is that all right? Yeah, Tom. All right. Well, you're going to lose 12 kilos. So in the next kind of 3-4 months, is that okay? Cool. All right, cool. Let's do that. Because I didn't believe that she was in a track and do all the stuff that I wanted them to do. I was like, you still can track it. You can try to, but I just don't think you'll get it in. So your mindset is very much yes or no. And it took all the thought processes out of it. Yeah, she'd probably didn't have a little bit too much stress and stuff like that. But it was like a short term, like, let's get this done. Then we can start living our lives a little bit better.
It's one of those situations where I go, okay, what's your niche? And they say that. And I go, yeah, you don't understand your niche. Then they go, no, I do. I get it. And they write it all down. I'm like, no, you don't get it because they wouldn't do this. They wouldn't sign up for online coaching. So it's just important to remember these things. And I think that's what I say to coaches when I say, okay, understand your niche is one thing of like the goal, but it's like your personality and what you bring to it is the completely separate thing. And with online, I think that people are really scared to, again, bearing in mind, I've seen PTs who are scared to talk to anyone on the gym floor. And I'm like, well, you've got to fucking start making content that is outside your comfort zone. I was like, if you can't speak to another human being on a gym floor who's interested in fitness, how are you going to make videos in front of no one with just a camera recording and think about how it's going to look and be creative? Well, you're not. Because it requires more fucking balls to do that than it's to go and speak to someone in the gym. So that's the frustration for me, is the lack of understanding of what's required and the fact that being a really good in-person PT carries over to being a good online coach.
Barely. Should do
Barely
though, right?
ban.
Should do. All
But
right.
they
But
don't
yeah.
do it.
So
People don't do it.
people, yeah, people tend to niche a little bit early and discover it. Like, it's a case. It's
And there's
just.
also an argument to be made for, like, if you were to share more of your personality, more of your own journey, more of that, as a byproduct of that, you would niche down without even
100%.
calling it a
Like,
niche, without even saying, I work with these people. Just start posting shit you're doing.
you can get my like personality. I'm data driven. Cool. I like that kind of shit. I
You're a
like
geek.
sports. I'm a bit of a fucking geeky nerd,
You like
right?
Star Wars
So I
shit
like
more than
Star
me.
Wars. I like metal music. Suddenly my niche is becoming a little bit more clearer. It's like
Yeah.
other people who tend to have those interests at heart and like going, I help busy mums. It's like, all right, cool. All right, well, busy mum's a big spectrum of humans. Like, what are you
Yeah.
going to talk about?
Well,
Just
hang on. That's every mom on the planet, by the way.
yeah. It's like, all right, well, like where we're getting into it, I'm like, I literally will talk. I'm basically talking to coaches pretty much the whole time, like and other people like that. And their mindset is that. It's just like, and I'm only looking at the bored ones, not the ones who love bodybuilding. Can give a shit if they see my content. Cool. It might trigger them. 100%, amazing, cool. Like, I don't care, but I want other coaches to be like, yeah, everybody who signed up for Combine so far, which by the way, is actually at full price now. So
No way, Tom, you're so
bad
unfair. I
times. I
missed out on my
know, I
chance to
know.
get in.
But if you can still get in before the sixth, but if Dan lets me do like an hour of work on Sunday, I think that's what I think I have to do.
Oh, I've got driving
Unfortunately,
range practice, that's fine.
yeah, it'd be fine. But yeah.
In completely unrelated news, I got given these pens the other day.
You
Yeah.
got golf pens.
Yeah. Paul Standell gave me a gift, came over to
Oh
buy, so
wow.
not
He
gonna.
is such a fucking brown noser. Jesus
Yeah.
Christ.
And I still beat him at pool. Don't worry about it.
I saw you. He'd been practicing golf as well.
He has been practicing golf. Yeah, I think he's rubbish at golf, but he has been
All right.
practicing it. But yeah.
I thought he might have been like prepping for a little match. Thought there was going
Yeah,
to be like a
I think he
little.
wants to. I think we're gonna at some point have to do maybe me and you need to organize it, Tom, the fitness golf
Fit
open.
Pro
We
Golf
need,
Day.
I think
Yeah.
it's gonna be something that people are gonna wanna come to. So we're gonna have to, I think, do something.
We get that going. Like I've got at least like six or seven lads at Until who'll be game.
Do you ski as well, Tom? Have you skied? I can't
Not
remember if you've skied or
well.
not.
I snowboard.
Snowboard, yeah, I would do snowboarding
Yeah.
as well. But yeah, Paul was talking this weekend about maybe organizing a fitness ski trip, which I thought would be
Ski
quite cool.
trip. That'd be quite
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what I thought as well. So I was like, I'm down for that if he organizes it.
I'd have to get to Hemel Hempstead a bit, like to learn a little bit
Yeah,
more.
I'd have
I
to go
feel
to
like
the
I'd
ski
have to
slope
get,
in the
yeah, I'd
mall.
be like, I don't want to be a complete melt.
No. You've got to be on
Meant to be
ski
good at
school from day
sports.
one.
Yeah. It's just like, all right, bye guys. Just me and Dan, like with the 4-year-olds, who are definitely gonna be better than us.
Definitely.
Right, we'll vaguely talk about something that in one of my lectures, you may be getting for fucking free on here, so fucking hell. What was I going to talk about? Fatigued to fresh to fatigued, basically. I think this is an interesting one because somebody raised the argument. I raised the argument. Asked me today was like, all right, I want to put rack pulls and RDLs in this guy's plan. I was like, cool, no reason why not. I just tell me why. What are you going to do with them? What's the point of each one of those? That's an interesting one, Dan. If you were to put rack pulls and RDLs, this is basically the question he asked me. It's like, which order would you put them?
Which one's
It was
more
very
important?
cute. He was like, oh, Tom, can I ask you a question? I was like, fucking hell, another one. But I
I
was
would
just like,
personally, for me, I would put RDLs first because it's a more important movement to do and do well. That's why I would do it, because it's more important. Whereas you would probably say put rack pulls first because cardio and higher fatigue ratio, blah, blah, blah.
There we
But I
go.
wouldn't even
Good.
put
So,
rack pulls in there. I wouldn't even put rack pulls in there. So
number one,
that.
wouldn't put rack pulls in there because I'm not a big fan. If I'm doing a partial range anything, then I'd be doing like concentric Anderson squats or quarter squats or half squats or whatever. So I'm probably not doing like CNS primers for just hip hinges. I just feel like it's just too fatiguing, too a bit weird. Never been a big fan. No one cares what your rack pull is, but if I gun to head, yeah, the main point of a rack pull would be for either one, power, or two, like overall fucking strength. So the chances are that it's going to be really intensely fatiguing. So it's
The only reason I can think you're doing it is for grip strength. It's the only reason I think you're doing it.
cool. Grip
It's the only
strength, that
reason I
kind of
think you're doing
shit.
it. Like
Like
literally, like I wouldn't. And that's
I
why I
could
would do it. And that's why I do it after RDLs because I want my grip to be fine for RDLs.
I could see it as a broad jump primer. That would be the only thing. But then you'd have to be north of fucking 90, 95% of what you can lift. So that is going to be really super intense. So if you were going to do them in any kind of way, I think the RDL has more of a mixture. I'd quite happily put an RDL for volume. So I'd have to put, if I would say it's more CNS fatiguing doing the rep pull because the load is higher. Basically, that's the only reason why. So you put that top before the RDL. I just tend not to program them. Even if like, I want to put a CNS primer. They're probably doing some sort of like vertical jump or like a heavy trap bar deadlift or something like that, or trap bar jump. Seen a lot of fucking people bitching on like loaded jumps lately. But yeah, anyway.
Why?
They're just like, oh, it's not enough velocity, so you don't move as fast. And then like you might as well get as much force from doing a high strength exercise and as much kind of velocity from doing like a body weight maximal exercise rather than this kind of middle ground. And they're not really thinking about like the reactive force of when they drop and actually land with force, which is one of my arguments as well. I was arguing with somebody the other day. But also like forgetting about this, just getting out of my little scale, these beautiful little handouts that you can get when you're on the combine. So yeah, otherwise VBT is dead. It's all right,
Pointless
it's
VBT,
not.
that's why.
It's definitely not. It's just a great way of
No. Got a
definitely a
bookmark.
great,
So.
definitely a little bit more. Look at those, beautiful. Definitely a way of progress without, and it's any given day. Otherwise, oh, I've got to do 85% of my lat pull down today. No one gives a shit what that means. It's fine. But anyway, if you're going from fresh to fatigued, this is your kind of requirements of what you should be doing. So most people should be doing top end speed at the top. That was one thing I realized that people don't really train. I was just like, sprints. People don't put that. That's probably the best hamstring kind of exercise for anybody in the world. Sprinting. How many people pull their hamstring when they
Well,
sprint?
no
A lot.
space, though. I guess space is
It's
probably one of the
a
main
space,
issues with
but
that.
if you've got a curved treadmill in like somewhere, most CrossFit-based things have to use curves now. So they're in a lot more gyms. So curve-based things. I think people are scared of them more than anything else. Then skill acquisition. I think people don't really understand that that needs look.
Oh, thumbs up, Tom.
Thumbs up. I did
Tom got a
that.
thumbs up on Zoom.
I did that the other day on Google, and I did a thumbs up, and it went like there was fireworks coming over.
Doesn't
Like
work.
on, it, oh,
Why is
where's
it
it
just your
gone?
side that works?
Anyway, people on the audio podcast, which is nearly 100% of you, we're just
Oh,
making
it's not doing
thumbs
it
at each
anymore. We're
other
just making thumbs now. Nothing's happening.
because a thumb up came up on Zoom. Anyway, if you use Google Meets, I do. Like if you do a thumbs up, I think it like does a big fireworks celebration. That's cool. And then you move into like acceleration phases. So top end speed is like I'd say 30 meters plus. So you're moving all the way up to 60 meters, something like that. Then you've got acceleration one step down from there, and power based exercises. So those loaded jumps, all those kind of shit. Then you move down to max strength. You can still do that when you're a little bit fatigued, but it's kind of borderline. So if you're going to train these, do them basically do these at the top of your session. So top end speed, acceleration, power. Then you move down to like glycolytic power, max strength. And then once you've hit all of those things, then you can move to hypertrophy, kind of cardiac power, aerobic endurance, and flexibility fucking training, all that bullshit that goes down there. I think people struggle with those orders, exercise orders, and it does matter. Putting people's jumps or plyometrics, I'm assuming that people do these. I'm assuming actually that people don't really do this. I have a few clients that are still plucking up the courage to jump in their gyms because they're like, oh, but nobody else really does this. And I'm like, you're missing out on this massive part of your strength spectrum, like by not doing any jumps. And there's that, it's like a weird thing that you're in a gym, but none of the other PTs do it. So you're like, oh, I'm really self-conscious on
Yeah,
it. I'm like,
strange, isn't
fine, you're better. You're better than them by doing it. Just do it.
Something really random, Tom, just while we're on the whole like thumbs up on the Zoom thing, right? Is I had a call earlier today, one of my clients is a Liverpool fan, and I did this. on my before the call. I was just like, oh, sorry to hear about the football, mate. I did that.
Oh,
I thought it's quite good.
amazing.
I'm really childish with this sort of stuff. I love
Oh,
it.
yeah.
Like, love it. Like, for those listening who are not watching, I basically have like an Everton fan holding up a scarf behind me because obviously like Liverpool lost to Everton and they lost the league basically at Goodison Park, and it was quite funny to see. Yeah.
See, that's like I'm as childish as you on this. So I used to in lockdown, we used to
Did
have
this
these
once as
meet
well to someone.
in lockdown, we used to have those meetings every week, and then like it would be the whole PT team. So what I would do is I would do a screenshot of somebody else's camera, and then I would put that as my background and pretend we're sitting next to each other whilst we're kind of watching the meeting, and it'd just be a new person every week. So
It's quite
it's
good.
just
Quite like
they're
these.
just yeah, they're quite clever though. You have a little play around with them, but yeah, and essentially that list, if you're on the combine, you'll fucking get it. But that'll be something to have a little think about exercise order as you're going through that, because there is a right order, and what is ever more CNS fatiguing, you do at the start and fresh, so that's high power, all kind of stuff up there, bands. I mean, have you put a bold thing on you?
There's my eyebrows.
I don't know how, but you've become more bold on this filter. I mean,
My eyebrows look, I could change them. They're really thick now, thick and black. There you go. I can get my mustache as well, look.
I've
Look at
screenshotted that, so that's brilliant. So I
really work with the beard. Just kind of have one already, but there you
mean, I'm
go.
not too
Mate,
sure what's
isn't tech fucking weird? I'll tell you what.
happening.
It is weird.
Very odd. All right, there's me
Yeah.
trying to make a serious point
Sorry,
and
yeah, sorry, Tom. I'm just,
fucking
yeah.
sorry, we'll move on. We'll move on. That's absolutely fine. Right, so just to have that in mind when we're creating stuff, and he's got a dog on it. I'm going to end this because Dan is clearly overtired and playing with filters.
Oh, dear.
Jesus
You can click a
Christ.
button that says apply to all future meetings as well, which would be hilarious. Imagine turning up to a meeting just like,
Oh, God. Just like, just as a
sorry, guys, I literally had no idea you could do this, and
pirate.
now I'm fascinated by it. So I will do that.
So
But no,
that is basically
Tom's points
next.
were all right and valid, so that's all good.
Dan didn't know what was
So,
happening
like,
there.
the other thing to that though is like, in terms of, so those people, obviously, in terms of what Tom's talking about is correct. There's also this thing in like bodybuilding space, I guess, which is, I think, is a little bit more relevant to some people than others. But the relevance there would be obviously because a lot of the time with that, you don't really have the fatigue and freshness bit thing based on power, speed, like skill acquisition and stuff like that, because most of the time you're doing the same shit. So their view of that is to take it when you're the freshest that you work on the muscle group that you want to focus on the most and you want to apply the most amount of tension to, so that you see growth kind of in that area. So for example, if you were to do a back day, which a lot of people do, or your upper body day, let's say upper body, and let's say that your back was a real weakness and you felt like you wanted to really work on your lats, you would start with, say, for example, the lat pull down. You would make sure that you would focus all your intensity there first before moving to maybe sort of more of a horizontal row to then more of a shoulder-based movement or a chest-based, because again, your energy levels will be higher at that point in time. That's their view of it, and that's something you may hear and think about there. So for them, I guess it's more so the order is based on the importance of the muscle group you're training. So I know some bodybuilders who train biceps first, for example, on their back, their upper body, because it's a weak area they want to bring up and all those sorts of things. That's another thing you may hear a lot of people talk about, especially PTs, because they love fucking bodybuilding and shit and they don't know what Tom just talked about, basically. So they may do it that way around, which again is, I suppose, makes some sense to a degree.
It does make some sense, I
I'd
guess.
still be doing, measures of your big combine list before doing bicep curls, but hey, whatever.
But
That's how I deal with
it's
it.
been like, I think it's, yeah. And I think most people just realize that the intensity needs to be high. Like, if you're going into the, like, if you're doing bicep curls that early, or that's the body part you got to be up, bring the intensity fucking up for it as well. Treat it as if you're doing it for like max strength or like max hypertrophy. Like, bring the fucking tank to it, and then you might get some, because still overload and load will elicit the biggest response. No matter how many daisy chains that Paul Standell uses, it will still be the thing that yeah, I'll make up so much mechanical tension. Cool. All right, well, bicep curl like 50 kilos, then I bet there's fucking mechanical tension on it, like, if that's fine. But I'm assuming that'll be all right. Don't know. Do it full
Might be.
range and then crack on. Yeah, I would concur, Daniel. something that I do with people is just like, all right, well, and also if there's a weakness, like they do it more often. Because all my guys superset or tri-set. Still find that baffling that bodybuilders never do that. I'm just like, non-competing, bro, or mobility. What's up? No, I've got to get my rest in.
Yeah, they'd just rather stay in
What?
the gym for 3 hours, mate. They just love the
Like,
gym.
fucking hell. Like I did a I wrote a lecture today, lecture, talk, whatever, on building a athletic-based program. And the for the gym pop, right? And the time constraints for building a pretty decent one is between 35 minutes and 65 minutes. That's all you have to, that's the amount of time you have to train. Like, and you'll get all your shit done. Oh, yeah. I don't think people realize that. And that's if you just, if that's if you have more thought process about what you're doing and have non-competing supersets or mobility sets or kind of stuff like that.
Yeah,
But yeah,
whereas bodybuilding is just going for 3 hours, so
it's like 3 hours.
better
I've
prep.
got a good sesh. Let's just do
Better prep.
more.
I couldn't
So
think of anything worse.
I would, yeah, I'm like
Couldn't think of a worse place to be
45,
for three
45
hours.
minutes. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm done.
Yeah.
Get it out. Get it
I'm
done.
sure there's a
Be
lot of people that are
intense.
like that, though. I'm sure there's a lot of people that must be in a similar place where you just train for the good it does you.
Yeah,
Must be
100%.
loads of people listening to this. I'd imagine anyway.
Like, anyway. All right. Obviously, there's no podcast next week, unfortunately.
It could be in Abu Dhabi.
I will be in Abu Dhabi. Yeah. So basically, Dan's done stage by stage where he's had like a group, like mentoring kind of thing in England. Then he's had like the outer square come over. Now he's fully prepped for me to come here, where we've just got one-on-one business coaching for a whole week, Dan. That's all you're doing. That's what you're
Yeah.
doing with me. Yeah.
One on
Could you
one.
imagine?
I'd never do it.
I think you'd cry. You'd be like, no, I don't want to do this.
I wouldn't cry that much.
You'd
Not
be like,
too badly.
we're just going to talk about how many ClickFunnels we can. We're going to have like tournaments of how many ClickFunnels we can set up, how many landing pages we can do, and then we're just going to get, I don't know,
Click funnels.
which email automation we can get up set up quickly. Yeah, we're going to love it. That's what we're doing all the time we're away.
Yeah.
Very much
I'm
no.
on holiday for a week. Don't worry about it. If Tom has
Yeah.
any work, I will be doing anything else but work when Tom's
I've got
turned
to do
up.
1 day of work, unfortunately. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. There'll be lots of golf content coming your way. And yeah, good luck.
Brilliant. That's it. No, no, no finish to that. Catch you in a bit.